Welcome to Faith Renewed, a ministry of Faith Recovery Fellowship right here in Alaska. Knowing Jesus as Lord is the most important thing in our lives, and we aim to share the true gospel with everyone. Listen with us today as Pastor Scott preaches to his congregation and invites you to know the Lord Jesus Christ. You can also visit us online at faithrecoveryfellowship.org, that's O-R-G, for more information about our local church. God is good, and Jesus saves all who surrender their lives to him. Amen.
So as we look at this evening, Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 1. So if you have been raised with the Messiah, seek what is above, where the Messiah is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on what is above, not on what is on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with the Messiah in God. When the Messiah, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Therefore, put to death what belongs to your worldly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, God's wrath comes on the disobedient. And you once walked in these things when you were living in them. But now you must also put away all the following: anger, wrath, malice, slander, filthy language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self. You are being renewed in knowledge according to the image of your Creator. In Christ there is no Greek, Jew, circumcision, uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all in all. What Paul is telling us here, and he's culminating this whole discussion about a relationship with Jesus Christ, he's coming into chapter 3 and he's telling us that we have a responsibility in our Christian life to live this life out, not in of our own power, but to make a commitment to live this life out in his power. What happens to us in Christian life oftentimes, and it seems to be a particular issue in the current church in America, that we have a relationship with Christ, we have salvation in him, we own that salvation in him because he has adopted us as his children, according to Ephesians chapter 2, and at the same time, we think that we have this relationship with him, and somehow there's no responsibility on our part to live this life out the way that he desires for us to live. So he's telling us in this passage, in this 11 verses, live your life as a new man, as a new person in Christ. And he starts out with this question. So if you have been raised with the Messiah, seek what is above, where the Messiah is seated at the right hand of God. And that's a serious question. That's a serious question to us as believers in Christ. Have we actually made that decision to have a life in Christ? And if we have made that decision to have a life in Christ, then we should be willing to seek what is above, where the Messiah is seated at the right hand of God, if we have that relationship. Because what happens to us oftentimes is we become incredibly complacent. We're okay where we are. We just recognize that we're perfectly fine where we are, and we don't have any responsibility to do anything more. It's not what he told us in any of his letters in the New Testament. He tells us that we need to continually strive forward. And I love this passage of Scripture because Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. He told us in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, therefore we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to the confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but the one who has been tested in every way as we are, yet without sin. Paul's telling us, or the writer to the book of Hebrews, I happen to think it's Paul, but that Jesus understands our weakness. He understands our situation. He understands where we are. He understands the fact that we don't have the ability all the time to stand firm, but he tells us that we should stand firm, hold fast to your confession. You believe in Jesus as Lord. You believe in Jesus as Savior. Hold on to that truth. Live that truth out. And that means that we have to be able to be encouraged and strengthened. And that's why he says in verse 16, therefore, because Jesus, our great high priest, understood where we are, understands our weakness, let us approach the throne of grace with boldness so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us at the proper time. All of us struggle. There's no question that all of us struggle. Everybody that you meet on this planet, no matter what they happen to do as a job or a vocation, everyone has issues in their life that need to be dealt with. And what the writer is telling us in Hebrews is that we have access to our great high priest, Jesus Christ. He is seated upon the throne of grace. It's the only place in the New Testament where it refers to the seat, Jesus' seat beside the Father on the throne of grace. He has given us grace, according to John chapter 1, grace upon grace to live this life out. And he is seated upon the throne of grace where he will help us. We have to go to him. We have to continually go to Christ every time we run into an issue in our life that we can't handle. It's not like standing in the line at the bank. Jesus is accessible all the time in a moment. And every time we are challenged in our life with a temptation that we cannot handle on our own, he is available to us. And I know this for an absolute fact. Between the temptation and the decision that we make, there's a moment in time when we can go to Jesus and say, I need help now. I need you to show me mercy and grace to help. And the proper time is when we're asking. That's the proper time. And he is there for us. So here in Colossians, he says Jesus is seated at the right hand of God. And then he moves on and he says, set your mind on things above, not on what is on the earth. In Philippians chapter 3, and I think that it's important for us to understand this. Scripture interprets Scripture. Paul says one thing in Colossians. He refers to something else that shows up in another book. And he's telling us to search the Scriptures daily to see whether these things are so, as he did the Bereans in the book of Acts. He says for us to make every effort to take hold of Christ. So in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, he says to us, I have made every effort, take hold of it, because I have been taken hold of by Christ Jesus. Brothers, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead, I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly calling in Christ Jesus. He's telling us we need to put the effort forward to take hold of what he has provided for us in Christ. It's interesting because Paul wrote 16 books of the New Testament. And when he wrote the book of Philippians, he was in prison because of his faith in Jesus Christ. And yet he tells us in Philippians the same thing that he's telling us in Colossians, but he said, not that I've considered myself to be already fully mature, but I make every effort to take hold of it because I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, the man that wrote 16 books of the New Testament, you would think, I would think, that he was fully mature in his relationship with Jesus Christ. And then he tells us in Philippians that he's not fully mature. Just 2 years before he actually was beheaded in Rome because of his faith. So we need to understand that we are not fully mature either. And we will never be fully mature in our relationship with Christ until we see him, until we're in heaven with him. Because life is always a growing process. It's a continued growing process. And that growing process, important for us to recognize, we will never be in a place where we do not have to put out the effort to live this Christian life. We never get to come to a place where we can just rest on our laurels and do nothing in our relationship with him. We have to continue to pursue that relationship and continue to grow in that relationship and continue to seek His face daily, moment by moment. Because otherwise, what happens to us is we become complacent. We become the person who has no purpose in life. And we have a purpose in life, and that is to glorify Jesus Christ in our life daily, every single day and every single moment of our life. He tells us to set your mind on what is above, not on the things of the earth. Just in chapter 2, we went through this last week. You've died with the Messiah to the elemental forces of this world. Why do you live as though you still belong to the world? We don't belong to the world. We belong to Jesus Christ. We belong to the relationship we have with Him. The Father adopted us. The moment we ask Christ into our life, He sealed us with His Holy Spirit, according to Ephesians chapter 1, and He adopted us as His own children. That's the Father. The Father adopted us as His children, according to Ephesians. So we have a family relationship with God right now, and He wants us to live as though we are His family and reflect Him in our life. It's important for us to recognize, because if we don't see that, what happens to us is we tend to slide backwards. And there's one thing that is absolutely the truth. When we talk about being backslidden, you're either going forward in your relationship with Jesus Christ or you are sliding backwards. Pure and simple. Find yourself drifting back into the same addiction. Find yourself drifting back into the same lifestyle. Find yourself going back to your old way of life, because there's only two ways to go, backwards or forward in Christ. And Paul calls upon us to do exactly that, to go forward in our relationship with Christ. He tells us in verse 3, you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Romans chapter 6. And I said, Scripture interprets Scripture, so we have to look at Scripture the way that Paul intended for us to look at it. He didn't give us everything in one simple statement. He gave it to us through the entire writing that he had. He tells us in Romans chapter 6 that we need to be in that relationship with Christ in a way that we can understand. And Paul tells us in Romans 6, for example, that we died with Christ and now we live with him. But we need to recognize that we are dead to sin and alive to God in Romans 6:11. He tells us that we are dead to sin. So you consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. He makes a point to continually remind us through all of his writings of what our relationship with Christ is supposed to look like, what our relationship with Jesus Christ is meant to be, and how it's meant to be lived out. And we need to understand as believers in Christ that it is not something that we can just assume is going to continue to be the way it's supposed to be. We need to put out the effort to make that choice. We need to commit ourselves to the growing process that we have in Jesus Christ. That means we're going to make hard decisions. We're going to make decisions that separate us from our past. We need to make a decision to have that relationship with Christ continue to grow and continue to be encouraging to us and continue to strengthen us in our relationship with Him. And that means we need to be in this Word. We need to be in this book. We need to see what He has for us. James tells us, and this is a verse that I don't have written down here, but he tells us that the Word is like a mirror. And we look into that mirror as we read the Word, and we see ourselves in that mirror. And then we walk away and we forget what we see. It doesn't impact our life. But we're required to look into the Word of God, see what the Word of God tells us, and make a decision to walk this life out the way that the Word of God tells us. So we look at Romans chapter 12, which is an amazing passage of Scripture, and we see it, and we probably have memorized this passage of Scripture. Therefore, my brothers, by the mercies of God, chapter 12, verse 1, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your reasonable spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. You see what Paul is saying here? Be transformed. Be changed. Don't continue to do what the world does. Don't continue to live as the world lives, but change your life. But it's not change just because we make a choice, even though the choice is imperative. We have to make the choice, but we have to recognize that God changes us through His Word, by His Spirit, and He does this as we seek Him through His Word, as we read His Word, as we pray, and we ask the Spirit of God to transform us by the renewing of our mind. And this is hard for us to understand, especially in our new beginning relationship with Christ, because we all have a past. We all have a past that we're not proud of. And that past can be drugs, it can be alcohol, it can be immorality, it can be a lot of different things. But that transformation can happen in our lives. It's a great word. Be transformed, be changed by the Spirit of God and have Him renew our mind. We no longer think the same way we used to think. We no longer act the same way we used to act. We are no longer the same person we used to be because Jesus transformed our life by His Spirit through His Word. We can't change our life. We can try. We can make a promise to ourselves that we are going to not do the same thing. The only thing that can change us is Christ in us by the Spirit to make us into the person that we need to be. We cannot transform ourselves. If we could, Jesus would not have had to die on the cross to pay the penalty for our sin. He did for us what we could never do for ourselves. We could never transform ourselves. We could never change ourselves. We can never be the person God wants us to be in and of ourselves. I think that it's imperative for us to recognize that we are 100% dependent upon our relationship with Jesus Christ to transform us into the person He wants us to be. We cannot do it. We will fail. That if I'm in the wrong company, pretty soon I end up being like the wrong company. It's easy. It's easy to slide backwards. We have to make the choice. And the choice has to be a deliberate choice on our part because we need to put to death what belongs to the worldly nature. We need to put to death sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. Because God's wrath comes on the disobedient. And Paul tells us right here, you once walked in these things when you were living in them, but now you must put them away. We have a future and we have a hope in Jesus Christ. And that hope that we have in Christ is incredible. Verse 4, he tells us, and I'm going to back up just for a moment. When the Messiah, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. He's talking about a future event. He will reveal Himself to us, and at the same time, we will be revealed in Him. But the future event is true, but the second thing he's saying is that right now we have in Him a relationship with Him that is currently present in us. And it's great to recognize this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he tells us that we are treasures in clay jars, and we are pressured in every way, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not despaired. We are persecuted, but not abandoned. We are struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry the death of Jesus in our bodies so that life in Jesus may also be revealed in your body. Even though we are broken, even though we are, as Paul refers to, clay jars, Christ is in us, the hope of glory. And He wants us to recognize that our relationship with Him is such that He can be revealed in us, and that revelation in us of a transformed life can be demonstrated to the people around us, the people in our world, the people that we need to minister to, the people we need to reach out to, the people that need to know Christ as Lord and Savior. If they can't see Jesus in you, then keep your mouth shut. But if they can see Christ in you, then share him with people. Because we have a responsibility to be that person, to reveal Christ to people in us, and to demonstrate the life that we have in him. We need to be different people, separate people. And he wants us to put off the old self with its practices and put on the new self. And it's really a picture, the put off and put on, is a picture of taking that old garment that demonstrated who you used to be and taking it off and throwing it away and put on the new self, the one that we have in Christ, the relationship we have in Christ, because we're pursuing that relationship that we have with him. We're pursuing that relationship that we have with him so that we might be mature in our relationship with him and that we can, in fact, do what he told us to do in the Great Commission, to make disciples, to see people grow in Christ. That means that whatever our bad habits are, we need to put them off. They aren't part of me anymore. I don't need them to be part of me anymore. I cannot do the drugs. I cannot do the alcohol. I cannot do the porn. I cannot do the things that I used to do because I want to demonstrate Christ in my life. And I want to pursue my relationship with him to the point that we can and will be able to have a clean testimony because we're called to it. We're called to that purpose. All of us struggle, and I recognize that. But we need to put to death the fleshly desires. We need to put to death anger, wrath, malice, slander, filthy language from our mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you put off the old self. All of those things that have had an impact on our life and have controlled us, our anger, our malice, all of those things, our filthy language, clean up our mouth. God began to change my life at that point. And he began to make me into the man that I am now, but not the man that I truly needed to be completely. I'm still growing in my relationship with Christ as well. But we need to understand that he has a hand on us for a purpose. And that purpose is to reach a world that's broken for Jesus Christ. We're not going to save the entire world, but there are people in our world that need to be saved, that need to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that we get to talk to every day, different venues, different situations, but they need to know the Savior. When you look at the events of the world today, there's a lot of reasons to believe that Jesus could come back at any moment. And we say that often, but do we really believe that he literally could come back at any moment? He wants us to be renewed in knowledge according to the image of our Creator. He wants us to be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. He wants us to be mature in our relationship with him. And we need to, and have the opportunity to, in the strength and the power of Christ in our life, because when we are weak, then we are strong in him. And by his Spirit, through his Word, see our life transformed into the person that God wants us to be so that we can reach a world that is lost. We can reach a world that is broken. And so many times I think that we're intimidated by the idea that maybe I'm going to share the gospel wrong, or maybe someone won't come to know Christ because of my testimony or because of what I'm sharing. It's not our responsibility to see the end. It is our responsibility to be engaged in the process. Paul goes on, and he says in the last verse, in Christ there is not Greek and Jew, circumcision and uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. Racism is not new. People have been racist since Genesis. But in Christ, all is in all. There's not Greek and Jew. The Greeks hated the Jews. The Jews treated the Greeks like dogs. There's not circumcision and uncircumcision. In other words, whether or not you are a Jew or whether you are a Greek, it doesn't matter. Barbarians were common in the first century. And we thought, well, the barbarians were really bad. And then he refers to the Scythians, who were actually lower than the barbarians. They were really the worst of the worst. And at the same time, he says, slave and free, but in Christ, Christ is all and in all. When we get to heaven, we're going to see every age, every race, every person of every type in heaven. And at the same time, we are all in Christ, or we wouldn't be in heaven. And in that relationship that we have with him, we are all in all part of one body, that is the church. So it is God's desire for us to be and to live according to Christ so that we can reach people around us, regardless of their background, regardless of anything that in their life that may have been considered by us to be undesirable. But we have a responsibility, and that responsibility is to Christ, to reach people for him. Take advantage of it. Be bold in your faith. Recognize him for who he is, and recognize that he can use us and our testimony to touch other people for Christ. Make the decision to pursue him and to recognize that he can do in you what only he can do.
As we let Colossians 3:1-11 settle into our hearts, we're reminded that life in Christ calls for more than surface change. It calls for transformation from the inside out. We've died to our old ways, and now we're raised with Christ into something new, something holy. So let's not just talk about setting our minds on things above, let's actually live it out. Whether it's pride, anger, or the distractions of this world, we lay it all down. Because in Christ, we're being renewed day by day. This isn't just behavior change, it's identity change. And the best part? Christ is all and in all. That's the new you. That's the true you. Let's walk in it. We would also like to ask you to partner with us as we reach across the state of Alaska on radio, and Lord willing, TV as well. Everything helps when it comes to making sure more and more people have the chance to hear the gospel of Christ. For there is no other message of salvation on earth. As Christ continues to change lives, we ask you to visit us online at faithrecoveryfellowship.org to help us in the way of donations to ensure more have the opportunity to know Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection.